Okay, let's pray, and then we're going to kick off. Lord Jesus, we are delighted to be here as your children, knowing that you're our Father. Lord, and we think you're great. Even if we didn't think that it's true that you are great, and you are strong, and there is none like you, and you are worthy of all of our praise, and you love your children. I thank you, Lord, that you know each life here, and you love each life. I thank you that you are consistent in your desire for each and every one of us, in your pursuit of each life, and in your desire that you, Lord Jesus, would accomplish all that you want to in each life. Lord, and I turn my attention to you, and I want to have ears that can hear you. I want to be listening, receptive to you and your word today. And I pray you would find us all in that place, eager to hear from our Father, eager to listen, eager to receive from our Father, who is even more eager to bless and to minister. Lord Jesus, thank you for who you are. You are wonderful. Amen. Okay. A lot of what I want to say today has actually been said through the prayers of different people and through the songs that we've sang, which has really encouraged me. Recently, God has been speaking to us. I don't know whether you've been fully aware of it or not, but I've been hearing certain words that have come out when people have been speaking, particularly when Johnny spoke and when Larry spoke. Words like enlargement, expansion, taking new ground. And Jeff, when he prayed for Stephen, prophesied for Stephen, said the same thing, new adventures, tasting new food, knowing the abundance of God. And that's really what is on my heart today. I believe that God wants me to continue in that same vein, to talk about the same stuff, and to go into that a little bit more. So just suffice to say, God wants to expand us. He wants to enlarge us. He wants to take us into new dimensions of life in Him and to expand the dimensions of our current experience. So that's going into new areas that we've not experienced before, but in the areas that we have experienced, to know greater depth, to know greater width, to know greater length, to know spaciousness, for those dimensions to be expanded. And that's why I believe God wants to speak to us today. My title is Accomplishing Immeasurably More. Accomplishing Immeasurably More. That's what God wants to do through your life, through each and every one of your lives. Accomplish immeasurably more. Now, you know the verse I'm going to go to. Than you could ask or imagine. God wants to accomplish immeasurably more than you could ask or imagine. Think of that. Imagine that. Think of that. Get your head around that. God wants to accomplish immeasurably more in your life than you could ask or imagine. He loves you so much and is passionate about your flourishing. We've heard these things today in different things that people have said. He has plans and purposes for your life. In that verse it says to prosper. And that word means to progress. It means well-being, wholeness, flourish, blossom, thrive, expand, grow vigorously. That's what that word means. He came that we might have life, like Jeff was talking about before, and have it abundantly. He came that we might have life and have it abundantly. His desire to minister and bless is constant and consistent. And his power, as it says in Ephesians 1, is toward us. It's toward us today. His power is toward us today, and his desire is to minister and to bless. And he is wanting to accomplish immeasurably more than you could ask or think in your life. So let's turn to that verse. It's Ephesians 3, There's only really two passages that I'm going to major on. This is one of them. So Ephesians chapter 3, and it's verses 20 to 21. Okay, and it says this. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or think, according to his power that is at work within us. We serve a God who's able to do immeasurably more. In the Amplified Version, it says, super abundantly more. In the NKJV, it says, exceedingly abundantly above. And in the NLT, it says, infinitely more. I don't know whether when you were a kid, you remember having arguments with people, and then you'd say something, and then you'd say, times by infinity. And then you know you'd won the argument because they couldn't go further than that. And then someone would say infinity and back, and then you'd say, well, that's not possible. It's not impossible to go to infinity and back. And you'd win the argument. But point is, infinitely. Infinitely means knowing it does not have an end. It is infinite. It does not have an end. Immeasurably, we've talked about that word, mentioned that word then. Immeasurably, that means it's not possible for it to be measured. It's immeasurable. Immeasurable. This God of ours, who we serve, is able to do immeasurably more, infinitely more, super abundantly more, exceedingly abundantly above all that we could possibly ask and all that we could possibly imagine. We cannot comprehend the ability of God. We cannot. We can see little glimpses. We can grasp parts of it. But we cannot in ourselves, because we cannot imagine it. We cannot think of it. We cannot ask in relation to it, because it's beyond our comprehension. He is a God of superabundance. And we, get this, are to reflect him. We know that's the purpose of our lives. We know we are here as representatives of Christ. So we represent him. We're to reflect him. So that means there's something of this nature of God, this superabundant nature of God, that we are to reflect. How on earth do we do that? How on earth do we reflect that which we cannot even comprehend? That's what we're going to talk about today. He desires to reveal himself, his superabundant nature, to us and through us. He will move in us in ways that go beyond our own perceived abilities, our own perceived depths. And that's what God wants to do in our lives, to move us beyond ourselves. That's his message today. And it says in that, so it says immeasurably more than all we can ask. And then it says, according to his power that is at work within us. In the NLT it says, the same verse says this, now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we could ask or think. Now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. God's desire is to accomplish by his mighty power within us infinitely more than we could ask or think. God desires for you to know his superabundance, to live, you've heard this phrase before, I'm sure, naturally supernatural. Naturally supernatural lives. God's desire is to accomplish by his mighty power in you infinitely more than you could imagine or anyone else could imagine. It's true for you. It's true for every single one of us. That's God's plan and purpose for our lives. And then it says, later on it says, well, sorry, I'm just picking out different parts of it. It says this at the start, actually. It says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more. Notice it doesn't say who will do immeasurably more. It says he's able to do immeasurably more. Not that he will, no matter what. It doesn't just happen, is my point. God is able, and he wants to. But we need to allow him to in our lives. We need to cooperate. As a picture of what I'm trying to say, it's probably not a perfect picture, but you can get it. You think of the parable of the prodigal son. He went and squandered all his inheritance. Okay? Went off. And in fact, that was bad enough that he'd asked for his inheritance before his father had died. That was a really offensive thing to have done. And his father, without it coming to blows, which would have been a natural reaction, in grace allowed him to go. And after a while, obviously we know about the prodigal son and how his life got to the stage where he wanted to eat what the pigs were eating, and he couldn't even eat that. And he thought to himself, I could go back to my father, and maybe he'll receive me back as a hired servant. And in his mind, that was probably as far as he could stretch with good reason. As to what, you know, we said then in the verse, it says, beyond what you could ask or imagine. That was probably the most he could ask or imagine would be possible. That his father, who he'd so offended, and he'd squandered all this wealth, he probably thought that the most I could ask or imagine is that he would take me back as a hired servant. And if he did that, well, then that would be great. That was as much as he could ask or imagine. But the father had other plans. Before the son could even finish his speech of repentance, he was overjoyed at his son's return, and he called to his servants to bring the best robe, a ring, sandals for his feet, and to kill the fattened calf so they could celebrate. The son thought a hired servant would be the best he could hope to receive. Instead, he received a hero's welcome and was reinstated as a son with all that entailed status. Renewed inheritance. All these things. However, the son, and this is my point, only received more than he could imagine by walking towards his father. He had to walk. The father ran after him as he walked towards him. The father didn't run after him and drag him. The father longed for his son to return, but knew he couldn't force him. It had to be the son's desire too. So it doesn't just happen, this. God is able, but we have to allow him and respond and cooperate. So, my next part says, how do we allow God to accomplish in our lives immeasurably more than we could ask or think? So we've said that God wants to, that it's his desire to, and that he's able to. And that's his plan for our life, that he would accomplish immeasurably more than we could ask or think. But how do we allow God to accomplish immeasurably more in our lives than we could ask or think? And there's a verse that really struck me this week, and I want to spend time on this. And there's three things I want to pick out from it in answer to that question. It's in 1 Thessalonians, and it's verse 3. So if you turn to that 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. And it says this, and this is Paul talking about the Thessalonians' faith. He says, we always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God your work, produced by faith, your labor, prompted by love, and your endurance, inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's three things that I want to pick out from that. Because this was how God accomplished immeasurably more through the Thessalonian church. The three things he mentioned here. He said, prompted by love, inspired by hope, and produced by faith. Okay? So prompted by love, inspired by hope, and produced by faith. And it's these three things that allow God to accomplish in our lives immeasurably more than we could ask or think. And it's how God actually accomplishes immeasurably more in our lives. Prompted by love. Prompted by love is recognition. It's recognition. It's awareness. It's hearing. Promptings. Promptings is through your engagement with God, through the spirit in relationship, you become aware. You hear. You listen. You recognize His voice. I put here, our prompting will dry up if we do not invest in our relationship with God. The more we invest in our relationship with God, the more we learn to recognize His voice and the greater our awareness of His promptings. In John 10, we know that it says, my sheep, listen to my voice. I know them and they follow. We listen, then we can follow. We hear, then we can move. Okay? The more we experience of God's love, the more we love Him. It says prompted by love. The more we experience God's love, the more we love Him, and the more we are moved to act out of love for Him and love for, and through to others. In Ephesians 3, before the verse that I read out before about now to Him who is able to accomplish it infinitely more, it says that we are to be, it's part of Paul's prayer, that the Ephesians would be rooted and grounded in love. That they would know the height, the depth, the width, and the length of His love. Love compels. Love initiates. And love energizes. We are to be a people who are prompted by love. We're to be a people who know our God, who hear His voice and experience His love. And that's one of the first things in God accomplishing immeasurably more in our lives. Is we need to be hearing. We need to be investing in our relationship with Him. We need to know His voice. And we need to move in relation to it. Okay? But we need to get used to hearing. Hearing that voice and being prompted by it. Okay? So that's the first part. The second part says inspired by hope. I've put here reality. John mentioned this when he preached last week. Some of the things that I'm thinking of here. And he mentioned it in his prayer just before actually. I've put here reality, having a true perspective, having an eternal perspective, a keen awareness of true reality. Action, so faith, the response of faith, requires inspiration. And a good answer to the normal question of why am I doing this? Action requires a good answer to that. And that inspiration comes from hope. It comes from a vision for the future. It comes from a hope in a God who will make that vision a reality. In Proverbs it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Hope is necessary. It's essential. Especially during hard times, but it's essential, just full stop. It's necessary for endurance. It says in that passage that I read out before, your endurance inspired by hope. You can go on when you have hope. When you see and have vision of a future reality. When you're able to look beyond your circumstances. This is what inspired by hope is. Inspired by hope is being able to look beyond the current set of circumstances to a future reality. It's seeing things like John talked about yesterday. Seeing the unseen. Not fixing our eyes on what is seen, but fixing our eyes on the unseen. Setting our minds on things above, not on things below. This is where hope comes from. It's holding on to promises. God's word to the Israelites before taking possession of the promised land. He said to them, break camp and advance. See, I have given you this land. There was a promise. There was a hope. There was a vision, a picture of a future reality that enabled them to then move in faith. They had this vision of something. When Jesus called the disciples, he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He's given them a promise there. I will make you fishers of men. He's given them a picture of a future. A vision for the future, being made fishers of men. They hadn't come into the reality of it yet, but they have a picture. They have a vision of a future reality, being fishers, being made fishers of men. Okay? The Israelites, a vision of this future land, and a promise that he will give it to them. He will make them pray into these situations, talk to God, and then look for his response. Be receptive. Expect him to speak. Then when he does, hold on to that promise. Fixing our eyes, not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Hope looks beyond current circumstances to a future reality, and it develops an eternal perspective rather than a worldly perspective. We need to take our inspiration not from what is seen, but from the unseen things that God has shown us. Not just in here, but in our own lives, when God speaks into our lives through a variety of ways, mainly through here, but beyond that. We're to be a people who are inspired by hope, inspired by a future reality, having an eternal perspective, inspired by what will be rather than what is. So far we've got, we're to be a people who are prompted by love, who hear his voice. Like the command that God spoke when he said, follow me, to his disciples. Like the command he spoke to the Israelites when he said, break camp and advance. You hear his voice. And then you are inspired by hope, by a future reality, by a future promise. Inspired by what will be rather than what is. And then, the third thing from that passage says, produced by faith. Your works produced by faith. And here I've put response. Response. And this is where it ties in with what I was saying about the prodigal son, that it was necessary for him to walk. He needed to act. He needed to move. There needs to be action. There needs to be movement. If we are to accomplish immeasurably more that God wants to accomplish in his through us, if God is to accomplish that through us, there's to be movement on our part. There's to be cooperation. There's to be action. There's to be response. Faith is stirred up in us by love and hope for a specific. But we need to move in that faith. We need to act upon that faith. It says faith is confidence in Hebrews in what we hope for. Confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not yet see. We're told in 2 Corinthians 5:7 that we're to walk by faith, not by sight. The Israelites, they heard God's voice. They were inspired by a promise, but they only knew the realization of that promise by moving, by walking in faith. The same is true of the disciples. They heard the voice of Jesus and they were moved. They were given a promise by him, but they needed to respond for it to become a reality. They needed to move. They needed to step out in faith. I've put here, the prompting by love and inspiring by hope only produces the intended result through the acting in faith. The result is dependent on the step of faith. Faith, as we've read there, produces. It produces. Faith produces. Faith makes the thing happen. You can be prompted to do many things, but without action, they will never reach fulfillment. Faith grasps the opportunity and doesn't allow it to pass by. It says, let's do this. Let's go. And it grasps it. Okay? That's what we're talking about when we think of faith. We're talking about grasping. We're talking about taking hold of the opportunity, not allowing that moment to pass, taking hold of it. If you want to experience and live in the superabundance of God, we need to let go of fear and we need to trust God. If you want to walk on water, this is a famous book, if you want to walk on water, you need to get out of the boat. It's true. You can have all the promptings of love from God. You can have all the inspiration of hope and promises given by God that it'll be okay. But you've still got to get out of the boat. You've got to get out of that boat. This is God's word to us now. We've heard it from Larry. We're hearing it from Johnny. We're hearing it now through me. There is an abundance God has for us, but we are not going to know it. We're not going to live in it. We're not going to experience it without getting out of the boat, without responding to God through action. There needs to be movement. I think Johnny said when he spoke, he said, we're to be a people of movement. We're to be a people of movement. We're not to be a people who stand still. We're a people of movement, taking ground, going on in God. And that's God's heart for us. We need courage. And we need trust. It says in Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. Our own understanding is often what hinders. We know if we get out of a boat in our own strength and try to step on water, what's going to happen? We're going to go through the water and sink. Okay? But if God has prompted you by love and inspired you by hope and given you a promise that it's going to be okay, that changes things. At least it needs to. If you lean on your own understanding, you won't do it. But if you trust in God because you know who He is, you will get out of the boat. And that's what we need to do. To get out of a boat, to walk on water, knowing that if God isn't who God is, you're going to sink. It takes courage. It takes boldness. It means making yourself vulnerable. It means being prepared to maybe look like a fool. It means being prepared to go against what everyone else might be saying to you when they say, don't be so ridiculous. What are you doing getting out of a boat in the middle of an ocean? Which is a reasonable thing for people to say. But you hear God and you move in obedience to Him. If you want fruitfulness in your life, if you want God to accomplish what He wants to accomplish in your life, this is how we do it. We move in trust and dependence upon Him. It can only be this way. Because we cannot experience the superabundance. God wants to work that in us. He wants to stretch us beyond ourselves. But in order to do that, we need to go beyond ourselves. We need to move beyond what we know, what we have experienced, what we understand. We need to move beyond that in faith and in trusting God because He has power that we don't have. He has ability we don't have. And He's totally trustworthy. In Hebrews 11, it says, by faith, Noah. It says, by faith, Abraham. By faith, Moses. By faith, the Israelites. By faith, the Israelites army. By faith, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel. By faith is how things happen. It's God's power, but it's our cooperation with Him. By faith, Noah built an ark. Noah saved his family because he trusted what God said, despite all the other people were saying to him, despite all the mockery he had to experience and had to take. He saved his family because he acted. He didn't save his family just because he thought, yeah, I really believe that there's going to be a flood. There was more to it than that. There was action. He built an ark. It was practical. There's movement that's required. Abraham left his own home and set out for a land unknown. Moses' parents hid him among the reeds on the banks of the Nile. The Israelites passed through the Red Sea. The Israelite army marched around Jericho before the walls fell. Jesus' disciples got out of the boat. Movement, faith, action. This is what's required. We are to be a people of movement, walking by faith, taking ground. And it's what God wants for us. He wants to expand, like I said at the start. He wants to take us into new dimensions in Him, new things. But He wants to expand those current areas that we do know. Expand the dimensions. At the minute we have a garden that we want to do something with eventually. We know the measurements of it because we want to do something with it. It's 11 by 12. If we are to expand the dimensions, then what that means is it gets bigger. There's more space. You come to know new areas within something that you already know. That's part of what God wants for us. But then, beyond that, there's new lands. New areas that we've not yet experienced. Don't even know they're there. That God wants to take us on into. When we move in faith, the results are far greater than we may hope for. When the prodigal son moved to his father, towards his father, it was with the hope that he would be a hired servant. He was quite happy with that. That would have been good for him. Compared to what he knew, that would have been life-changing compared to what he was currently experiencing. But his father had even greater plans than that. Even greater. The results go beyond what we can ask or think when we move in faith. The church of God is to be a naturally supernatural people. God wants to expand us, to enlarge us, to take us into new dimensions. His desire is for us to be a people who accomplish immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine through His power working in us. For us to live in this, we need to recognize His voice. We need to recognize His promptings. We need to live taking our inspiration, not from what is seen, but taking it from what isn't seen. True reality. Holding on to promises. And we need to respond through action. Through movement. There's so much application of this for your life that I couldn't possibly start to go into examples because the examples would be, we'd be here all day and longer. I hope God will apply what I'm saying to your specific. I know God's speaking to us corporately as well. God is saying something to us corporately that we are to respond to as a church, but He's also speaking to individuals. And there's application of this in lives. God loves you so much and He has such great plans for your life. He wants to, as I keep saying, accomplish infinitely more. He wants us to know His superabundance. And in order to do that, we need to move. We need to respond. We need to recognize when we're hearing something, we need to move in relation to it. When we're seeing something, we need to hold on to that promise. And move in relation to it. Okay.